This morning, if you would turn with me to Malachi, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 8. Thank you so much for being here this morning. So glad that you are here. Turn to your neighbor and say, so glad you're here today. By the way, my name is. I'm not going to ask you to get up again because good grief. You guys talk way too much. Before we get into it, I want to tell you a little story about this kid I read about the other day. He was about ready to go to church for the very first time with his grandmother. And his grandmother gives him a quarter and says, you're going to go to children's church, and I'm going to go in there with you because it's your first Sunday and sit with you. And when the offering plate goes around, you drop that quarter in there, and that's called an offering. And he said, okay. And he looked at that quarter, and it just shimmered in his hand. Everybody say shimmered. Shimmered. Good job. Wow. So it just shimmered in his hand, that nice, shiny quarter. And he looked at it all the way through children's church until it was time for the plate to be passed and the offering to be taken up. And as it got closer and closer, his hand got tighter and tighter as the offering plate came his way. And the offering plate came to his grandmother, and she went like this, and he went, I don't want to do that, Grandma. I want to keep it. And of course, you know, Grandma gave him a look like only grandmothers can do. And she said, put the quarter in there. And so he dropped it. Children's church went on just a little longer, and he started getting a little squirmy. And guys with small kids know what I'm talking about. And she said, would you like to go out into the hallway and just kind of stretch your legs a little bit? And he said, sure, I would love to. And so they got up. And as he was passing the doorway, the lady that took up the offering was sitting right beside the door. And he noticed the offering plate, and he could see that quarter in the plate. And as he passed by the offering plate, he told the woman, he said, can I have my quarter back? We're not staying. We're not. Oh, man, I'm telling you, kids, sometimes. This morning, I want to talk to you about this, about you, God, and your money. All right? If you're visiting here for the first time, you're going, oh, my gosh, this pastor's talking about money. You're kidding me. But this morning, God is interested. I want to let you know that God is interested in your money. Everybody say amen. Amen. He is interested in the way you secure it. He's interested in the way that you spend it. He's interested in the way you share it. He is interested in your money. Some people will say, don't talk about money, preacher. Don't do that. Talk about something spiritual, right? Well, that kind of statement shows a lack of biblical knowledge and spiritual insight. Because nothing is more spiritual than how you handle your money. It is the supreme test of where our heart is. Where our heart is, amen? Adrian Rogers said, and Adrian Rogers is a wonderful Bible. Tell me you guys know who Adrian Rogers is. Few. He's passed away. He's been gone now for about 6 or 7 years, but he pastored a church in Memphis, Tennessee. I think it was around 30,000 people, known worldwide. And he said this about money. He said, a faith that hasn't reached your wallet probably hasn't reached your heart. I'm gonna let that soak in a little bit. A faith that hasn't reached your wallet probably hasn't reached your heart. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and I thank you so much, Lord, for the awesome privilege of teaching your word. And I ask, Father, that you would not only anoint me to speak, but anoint each person to hear your word today and respond to your word. I thank you, Father, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. I thank you, Father, for the ability to give. I thank you for the opportunity, Father, to gather amongst believers and worship together, to take communion together, and to give together. And so, Father, this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would change us by the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Malachi 3 says this, verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me." And this is the Lord speaking. "But you ask, how do you rob me? In tithe and offering. You are under a curse, and the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty." Now, money is something that we use every single day of our lives. Our very survival depends on it. How can Jesus Christ be Lord and not be Lord over our money? I've heard the saying that I don't like it when preachers talk about money. And I, you know, sometimes I understand that. How many of you guys see televangelists on TV talking about money? One thing that I cannot handle is when someone says, "If you do not give into my ministry, you are not blessed." All right? That person is not after God's blessing over your life. He is after your money and your wallet. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I'm not preaching against all televangelists, okay? There are some good ones out there. But we have to be careful to the ones that say, unless you give, you're not going to receive anything because you haven't blessed my ministry. Well, I can tell you right now, no matter who that is, do not send money their way. Amen? So, I've heard people say that, you know, listen, don't be talking about money, Pastor. You know, talk about something spiritual. Talk about something that's relevant. Talk about something that I can use. I can tell you this. You sure wouldn't like the teachings of Jesus with that attitude. Because Jesus, he spoke 36 parables in the Gospels. 36. 16 of them had to do with our attitude toward our money and toward our possessions. That's how much Jesus cared about our attitude toward our giving. Because ultimately, our money is tied to our emotions, isn't it? We don't want to admit that, but it is. Everyone, if you use money, raise your hand. If you need money, raise your hand. I'm going to raise this one in my foot and that other foot. We all do. We all work for it. We all strive to get that money because money is what makes our lights come on. Money is what makes the plumbing work. Money is what puts food in our belly. It provides baseball and all these different things for our kids and vacations and all those different things. Car repairs. Some of you guys have car repairs. Anybody? I've had so many car repairs in the last 3 months, I don't even want to talk about it. But Jesus, over 36 parables, 16 of those parables were devoted to money. Were devoted to your emotions and your attitude toward your possessions. One out of every verse in the New Testament deals with our attitude toward money. One out of 10 verses in the New Testament. Let me put it to you this way. There are 500 verses about faith. And there are 500 verses about prayer. But then when you look at the area of money and finances and possessions, there are over 2,000 verses that deal with money and possessions, with our attitude. There's nothing more spiritual in all the Bible than our attitude toward our possessions and toward our money, toward our finances. Because we can be so driven to get stuff that's all that we want to do because our emotions are tied toward getting. And the way you get is with what? Money. And our attitude toward money defines who we are. God puts a big premium on giving because he gave his son Jesus as a ransom for us all. Even when we didn't deserve it, right? The Bible says that he demonstrated in his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were against him, He came and He died for us. Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son. Did God give His best? Absolutely. He gave everything that He had so that a sinful and wicked world could know His heart and His love. He demonstrated what it was to give. And so He is telling us that today we too need to give as well. Now we see the story about the widow's two mites. How many of you guys remember the story? And the reason why Jesus talked about this story is because the Pharisees were going around and showing everyone how much they were giving, how much they were sacrificing. The Pharisees were excellent at showing outward obedience. The Bible calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Look great on the outside, but on the inside they're dead men's bones. There's no life. There's only rule following. And today, there's still that even in the body as well. We are good at following the rules, right? We are good at following do's and don'ts. But the New Testament requires a whole lot more than the Old Testament ever did. Because the New Testament deals with our attitude. It deals with our emotion. It deals with why we're doing the things that we do. Not that we follow the rules, but why are you following the rules? When Jesus said this, he said, if you look upon your neighbor's wife, you're committing adultery. If you look at her in a sinful way, you're committing adultery. If you hate your brother, you're committing murder. And so Jesus is pushing the envelope even further with our attitude, because Jesus knows that attitude is everything. Amen? Every parent that has kids should be going, mm-hmm, that's right, preacher, that's right. Because when I ask my son to do something and I hear him stomping up the stairs, daddy's following. Daddy's following. And then those footsteps get a little bit loud. Sorry, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it. They're not here today, so I can say that. But whenever we have the right attitude, then that brings God's blessing in our life. It is a joy to give. Amen? It is a joy to give. To give of our sustenance. To give of things that we have in order that other people may have. That's New Testament. That's the book of Acts. The Bible says that in the book of Acts that none of them had any want for anything. Because people were selling off their goods. They were selling off property. So that everybody could have, so that no one would be without lack. And so the importance of giving is paramount in the body of Christ. It is extremely important. Yes, it pays the light bill. Yes, it pays the water bill. Yes, it pays the heating and the air and all those different things. But it also goes to invest in people's lives. We get calls, not daily, but we get calls of people that are in desperate situations that need finances or that needs this done or that done. And we can't do that without your faithful giving. And so whenever we give because not only does the Bible tell us to give, but we give because we know that what we are giving is going to invest into the kingdom of God into this town. Amen? And I don't know about you, but New Freedom Church isn't about just Russet Court right here. It's about the greater Green Bay area and whatever we can to affect this town for the glory of God. Amen? And I wish that we could just pray and manna from heaven would fall down like it did in the Old Testament. But that's not how it works today. God desires and tells us that we are to give so that we can give to others. Now, I'm not talking about just tithing either. I'm talking about giving of your talents. I'm talking about giving of your time. How many of you guys are strapped for time? Raise your hand. You guys are busy. You got two or more. How many of you guys have two or more kids? You know what? We're busy. You know what's going on now? Baseball, soccer, softball. All these different things are going on right now. We're all busy. We all have schedules to keep. We all have obligations to keep. But But the one thing that we need to understand is that our life is not our own. Our life is not our own. Our money is not our own. Our time is not our own. And when we give ourselves up to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we're saying this. We're saying, Lord, not only use my money, not only do I give this up freely. Let's see if I have anything in here. Lord, not only do I give this up freely, it is not mine, but you gave this to me. You gave me the means to work. You gave me the means to give. You gave me this talent. You gave me 24 hours in a day. And because of that, Lord, teach me how to be good stewards of my time. Because the days are getting short. The hour is getting closer to the Lord's return. And if we have made the Lord Lord over our life, then we have made the Lord Lord over all of our lives. Amen? All of our lives. Now, who else is interested in your money? Satan is interested in your money. It is his desire to keep you under a curse or under bondage. The best way for him to do this is to affect your attitude toward money in a negative way. Everybody say attitude. Now, the word tithe means a tenth, all right? God gave us a method of giving, which is completely fair to all who obey it, no matter what you make, no matter who you are. There was this guy one time, he went to his pastor, and the pastor just got finished talking about tithing, talking about the blessing of tithing. And he came up to him and he said, Pastor, I'm very concerned about this, because he said, you know how much money I make? He said, I make $500,000 a year. And you're asking me to tithe? He goes, I'm not asking you to tithe this. It's just in the Bible. You know, I'm trying to teach you the blessing of tithing. He goes, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to tithe that much. And the sharp-witted pastor grabbed a hold of his shoulders and said, bow your head and let's pray. And he said, oh God, I pray over this man. I pray that you would decrease this man's salary so that he can afford to give. In Jesus' name. We give to what we value, people. We give to what we value. Now, usually there are about three types of people in a church when it comes to this issue. Number one, it's all mine group, all right? This group says, I worked for it, I deserve it, I can do whatever I want to with it, and if I feel like giving, I will. That's the first group. And believe me, people say, well, who is that? I don't see how that would be too many people in the church. You'd be surprised. Number two, the tithe belongs to God and the rest belongs to me group, all right? They say, I'll give a tithe and I get to decide what to do with the rest of it. The third group says, it all belongs to God. I return to him what he has commanded, and he entrusts me with the rest of his money. Everybody say his money.
His money.
His time. Say that with me.
His
talent.
His talent.
Because every single thing that we are, he has created it in us. He is the originator. It all began with God. And when we turn that over to him and we release that shimmering, glowing, sparkling quarter in our hands and release it, then God will begin to bless our lives. And some of you may hear today say, Pastor, I can't afford to give. I want you to do this. Go home and sit down and look at your books, look at your finances, and see where your money is going. One thing that Dana and I have done since day one is Dave Ramsey's thing. We do the file system where we have our house payment, our car insurance, health insurance, all those different things in this envelope. And we put slots in there and money in there every single week. And at the end of the month, our bills are paid. And so at the end of every other week when we get paid, we put that money in there, and what we have left, it's what we can spend, what we can go to the movies with, or what we can save for clothes or for vacation or whatever. But we know exactly where our money's going every single day. And you guys need to understand that if you don't have a firm grasp on where your money is, then we're not being completely obedient with the Word of God. Amen? Don't spend your money frivolously. Don't spend it and be in the first group that says, it's my money, I worked for it, I deserve it, and I'll do whatever I want with it. Or the second group who says, hey, I'm going to tithe, but the 90% is mine. Listen to me. That attitude still is wrong, because God is God over the 90% as well. Amen? And so what we need to say is, Lord, whatever you want out of my money, out of my time, out of my talent, out of my treasure, I lay it before you, and whatever your heart is my heart. Whatever your desire is, that's my desire. Some of you say, Pastor, you know, the Old Testament, that's Old Testament stuff. Yeah, that's true. But Jesus talked about tithing to the Pharisees as well. He said, you tithe, which you ought to do, but then you lack the greater things, which are compassion and love. And he said, you ought to do the first, but you lack in those, in that compassion and that love. And so Jesus even says that we are supposed to be givers as well. And so the Pharisees were boasting about it. They were proud, and they were wearing their religion on their sleeve, and they were arrogant about all of the things that concern with religion. And they kept a suppressing thumb on the people because of it. And Jesus said, hey, okay, fine, you tithe. Well, you ought to do that. But one thing that you're missing here is the attitude of why you give. You see, the reason why the widow is remembered in the New Testament and Jesus is speaking, the reason why Jesus was able to speak about the widow is because she gave with the right attitude. She gave her two pennies because that's all she had. She gave it with an attitude of saying, Lord, you have given me this, and I give it back. She gave all that she had, and she will forever be remembered, not because of what she gave, but because of her attitude. Everybody say attitude. Matthew 23:23 says this. The Lord loves a cheerful what?
Giver.
I sat beside a person years ago, and they were visitors. And I said, look, you know, you're a visitor here today. I said, you know, don't feel pressure about giving. And I said, you're a guest. Just, you know, just sit back and take in the service. Let God minister to you. But they didn't listen to me. They fumbled through their wallet, and all they had was a 20, and they felt just, you know, horrible about not giving. So they just threw the 20 in there. And he put his wallet back in his pants pocket, and he said, I just felt bad about it, so I just threw it in there. That's all I had. And so a few months later, he comes up to me and he says, you know, I thought God's supposed to bless me for giving, but I didn't get nothing out of that 20. And I said, brother, that's why you didn't get nothing out of that 20, because of your attitude. I said, if there would have been a dollar in there, would you have gave the dollar instead of the 20? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, I think you got your blessing worth then. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, it's not about a 20. It's not about a 100. It's not about a 50 or a 1,000 or 500,000. What it is about is your attitude and the reason why you give. That God can bless. That God can honor. If you make $100, your tithe is $10. And if you give that $10 and you're glorifying God and saying, thank you, God, that I'm able to give this $10 because you had given me the capacity to make $100. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to give. God will bless your life abundantly. He will turn that $90 that you have left into far more than you can ever ask or think of. Amen?
Amen.
It is all about our attitude. Now, let's look at Micah 3:10 again. It says, bring in the entire tithe into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? It's your church where you attend. It's your church where you attend. When you come together on the Lord's day with the Lord's people to study God's word, we ought to bring in God's tithe as well. Also, tithe is where you get fed. So what I'm saying is, don't eat and run. How many of you guys go to your parents' house and you eat and run? No. You stay for a while, right? You talk. Nobody goes to mama's house and eat and run. I'm sorry. My mother doesn't allow that. I have to stay and talk. I have to stay in fellowship with my mother because that's just rude, right? And so that it's the same way. Don't eat and run, okay? Don't just take in and continually be consumers as well. But to be givers. Our lives is to be givers, not consumers. Amen? Now, also, it says in Malachi 3:10, God says, to prove me. That means put him to the test. Normally, we aren't supposed to do that. Normally, we're not supposed to tempt God, all right? But in this case, he says, put me to the test. See if I won't bless you. See if I will not pour out or open up. Let's read it right here. Malachi 3. It says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Man, I love that verse. If I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you that you will not have room enough for it. Wow. Now that's blessing. Amen. That is blessing. Now in verse 11, it says this, I will prevent pestilence from devouring your crops. God said, put me first and I will rebuke those enemies of your finances. How many of you guys have enemies of your finances? How many of you are your own enemy to your finances? And you know what? God said, if you test me and try me in this way, I will bless you. I will cause pestilence to not devour your crops. And sometimes we have enemies to our finances, doctor bills, furnace goes out. We're just now turning on, how many guys have turned on your air yet? Anybody? Couple. Yeah. Turning on those fans, and sometimes they don't work. Sometimes the car breaks. Sometimes, I remember, it's been about 3 years ago now, Christian was playing basketball, and before he was playing, he was running around with one of his buddies, and I said, stop running. You're going to hurt yourself. And so I'm turning around, and I just happened to be talking to Christian's dentist and my dentist. And all of a sudden I hear screaming behind me, and it's Christian. He fell on the concrete floor face first and broke half of his front tooth, permanent tooth, and couldn't find where the tooth went. I guess he swallowed it. I'm not sure where it went. But it went through his lip. He didn't want to play. It was dramatic. But his dentist was right here. And I said, this is going to cost a lot of money, isn't it? And Christian's crying. I'm talking money. Dad, I tell you, he's got a lot of compassion. Cost me $800 to have this tooth fixed. It's ridiculous. So I don't have, at that time, dental insurance. But sometimes we have those things that rob us of our substance goods. Amen? And the Lord said, he said, test me and try me in this and see if I will not pour out a blessing upon you which you cannot contain. Now, some of you are saying, my finances are fine and I'm not tithing. But don't forget, Satan can reward, he can reward disobedience too. He can do that. And so I encourage you today, listen to the word of God. It's not your pastor that's sitting here saying, you got to give, you got to give. It's what you got to do. Hey, I don't work on commission, all right? I don't work on commission, all right? So I'm not up here giving you a 30-minute info commercial. What I'm doing is teaching you kingdom principles that are going to bless your life. Now, lastly, in Africa, there's a monkey that is known for its meat. It's a delicacy. And they're real hard to catch. And so the locals come up with this ingenious way to catch these monkeys. They built these little boxes. And in that box, they put a couple of pieces of fruit in that box. And nail it and anchor it to a tree where they're known to be. And in that box, there's an opening that's just big enough for their hand to get into to reach up and grab whatever. And whenever they make a fist, they can't pull their hand out because the hole's too big. And so instead of giving up on that piece of fruit and letting it go and slipping their hand out to freedom, they hold on to that fruit for hours and hours and hours until they're completely exhausted. until the locals come up and kill him. They had rather commit monkeycide than to let go of what they have in their hand. They had rather get killed than to release what was in their hand. And some of us here today are doing the exact same thing with our finances. Because we won't release that tithe, that money to the Lord. We won't release it because we are afraid of what will happen when we do that. Because let's just face it, we're all afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of doing things differently sometimes. And I encourage you here today to test God in this. Prove Him. See if He will not pour out a blessing upon your life that you cannot contain. That it's running over. You're setting buckets around you trying to catch it all. God will bless your life in your right attitude. Everybody say attitude.
Attitude.
If you're here today and you're not saved, maybe you're not a Christian today. You come to church and it's the first time you've been in a long time, and here we are talking about finances. Listen to me. The only way that you will truly know how to be a true giver is if you first know who the true giver is. Let's all stand up this morning. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved us that He gave. He gave. God didn't have to do that. He could have allowed that same law to be in effect even today. Well, there's no hope for us at all except for rule following. But God chose of His own free will to give all that He had so that we may know His Father heart. See, in the Old Testament, they feared God. Because if you broke a law, you could be killed immediately. But in the New Testament, God said, "Now today I want to be your Father. I want you to know me. I want you to know my heart. No longer do I want you to follow a set of rules that you just mindlessly follow." God said to the children of Israel, He said, as they were offering up all of these sacrifices, they were offering up millions and millions of sacrifices each and every year. And they would go up to satisfy the sins of the nation. And it wouldn't be there for the forgiveness of sin. It would just be for the pushing back of sin for one more year. And at one point God said, "I'm tired of your sacrifices. I'm tired of your giving, because your giving is in the wrong attitude. Your giving has no feeling. It has no emotion. It has no conviction." And this morning, God is all about our attitude, why we do the things that we do, whether it be how we worship the Lord or how we give of our tithe and of our offering, or whether it be our time, maybe volunteering in the church or volunteering in the community. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we read? Why do we pray? Why do we study? Is it because, well, we haven't done it in a long time and it makes me feel better before I go to bed? Or is it because His Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway? Or do we pray because it makes us feel better before we go to sleep? Or is it because you can't go one single day without communing with your Father? Our attitude is everything when it comes to serving the Lord. Jesus talked a lot about money because he knew that it affected our life and it affected our attitude. And I encourage you today, if you've never tithed before, start immediately. Try him. I didn't say that. God did. He said, test me, try me, please. Try me. See if I will not pour out a blessing upon you which you cannot contain. That's the kind of God we serve, amen? That's the kind of God we serve. So this morning, I want us to bow our heads this morning. Today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you don't know the Lord, know this, that Jesus is the biggest giver that you will ever experience or encounter in your entire life. He gave his life. He allowed his blood to be spilled that we remembered in communion today. He allowed his body to be broken. The Bible says that at any moment, Jesus could have called legions of angels to come and rescue him, and that he would be justified. But the Bible says in Philippians that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider himself to be equal with God, but made himself nothing so that we could live. And this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. Today's your chance to know freedom, to know the truth, the way, and the life. If you don't know Christ and you say, Pastor, that's me, and I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life this morning. I just want you to put your hand up and put it down. Keep it up so I can see it. Amen. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you do this with me? Pray with me this morning. Say, Father, today I give to you my life. In my heart, I give to you today my sin and my will. Do with me what you want, because my life is not my own. It is now yours. I submit to you today on my own free will. I give you, Lord, my heart, my life, in Jesus' name.